Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament, and I'm going to go to chapter 7 and start reading at verse 21. And this is going to be part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave, which is chapters 5, 6, and 7. And this is towards the end of that sermon, and I'm going to read verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 7. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these three short little verses. Starting with verse 21. Again, the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we know that these are the words of you from your Son Jesus. They're very frightening words. Words that nobody will ever want to hear once they step into eternity. Father, my prayer this morning is this, that no one that hears this message will ever hear Jesus tell them, "Away from me, I never knew you." Father, I want everyone that hears this message to be saved, to have a salvation experience, to know and do the will of the Father, which is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Father, that is my prayer, that your words here in this scripture will sink into the hearts that it needs to sink into. It will take root. And it will sprout and it will grow so wonderfully. We trust you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today is our final week in our sermon series on Catholicism. Seventh week. Over the past six messages, I have given you basic Catholic doctrine and dogma straight from Catholic sources. Their material from their websites. We have covered things like week number one, what I call the Catholic attitude. What is the Catholic attitude? Well, remember, I spent the first 20-some years of my life in Catholicism. You are part of a very, very large organization, 1.2 billion people, very structured, has a lot of hierarchy. And within that, you are very proud to be part of that organization. You're very loyal to that organization. And when you get to that point, you have this, what I call a Catholic attitude. Week number two, we talked about the confession, how Catholics are forgiven of their sins through the priest, the mediator, in a sacrament called penance. In weeks three and four, we talked about justification. How do Catholics believe they get saved? It's a four-step process. Initial justification through baptism. Progressive justification through your avoidance of sin and your obedience to the commandments. Step three, re-justification when you do sin by going to confession, a way of getting that relationship back. And the fourth step, what they call final justification, doing good works. Again, justification, being saved in Catholicism, is a combination of faith in Jesus Christ and works and merit. You have to combine the two together. And because of this part over here, which is your works, you never have assurance of salvation because you really never know for sure, have I done enough? Week number 5, we talked about the Pope and the hierarchy and the power that the Pope has. And then last week, week number 6, we talked about absolute power, the power that the church claims they have because they have been granted that power from God, and God is continuing to reveal things to the Pope by divine revelation, and those things continue to add new doctrine from Catholic tradition and these new revelations. Throughout these 6 weeks, I have compared what we as Protestants believe and what we trust. We trust in sola scriptura, by the scriptures alone. This is our only source of truth and not anything by tradition. And I hope over these last 6 weeks it has enlightened all of us, including myself, with a better understanding of the Catholic religion. In turn, I hope that this series will help you better understand that you may have some Catholic friends or maybe even some Catholic family and understand where they're coming from with the beliefs that they believe because of this. And as a former Catholic, one who spent many, many years within that religion, I want any Catholics who may hear this message, either personally or through the internet or through you, to know this: I love you. But I fear that there are Catholics who are where I used to be. I'm not going to say that they all are, but I am saying this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are Catholics who are where I used to be. And where was that? I was eternally lost in a religious system. I looked great on the outside with my good works and my obedience to the commandments. I looked great on the outside with my church attendance and participating in the sacraments and putting money in the basket and doing all the things that the church required me to do. I looked great on the outside with my involvement in church functions. In my case, I played the guitar at the 9 o'clock Mass every Sunday over at St. John's Catholic Church over in Waynesboro for many, many years. I looked great on the outside saying my rosary, wearing a cross around my neck, and burning candles for those in need. I looked great on the outside, fasting during Lent and keeping my Easter duty every year as prescribed by the Roman Catholic Church. I looked great on the outside with my Blessed Virgin Mary statues around my house, along with my angel figurines and my St. Michael the Archangel painting down the hallway. I looked great on the outside, kneeling beside my bed every night, saying my Our Fathers and my Hail Marys. But that was on the outside, my friends. On the inside, I knew that something was missing. On the inside, I was empty and I was lost. On the inside, I never really knew where I stood with God and where I stood with Jesus Christ. The reality is, I was a Pharisee, just like those that are mentioned here in the Gospels. I was a hypocrite. I looked great on the outside, but as Jesus says, my inside was full of dead men's bones. On the outside, I appeared to people as righteous. But on the inside, I was full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So I ask, are you like me? Do you or can you relate to any of these things that I just said? I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am not alone in the way that I felt about my life, in the way I felt about my own personal spiritual condition. There are five of us children in our family, and I have a sister who has and had the exact same feelings that I had. She, along with me, are now new creations in Jesus Christ. And I still remember that day back in 1994 when I was back in Pittsburgh for a family reunion celebration. And I didn't know anything about her, and she didn't know anything about me. And she comes up to me and she says, "Mike, something is different about you. Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "And so am I." I have no idea what happened for the rest of that family get-together reunion celebration. The only thing the two of us could talk about was, why was it that the Lord brought the two of us into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ at the exact same time? Her in Columbus, Ohio, me in Waynesboro, Virginia. But that's what God does. Amen? I am a very large fan of a pastor named John MacArthur, who's out in California, I believe Palo Alto, California. And I subscribe to his monthly letters. I get his CDs and tapes. I listen to them constantly. John MacArthur has been the biggest pastoral influence in my life since I have been saved. And every month I get a letter from him. And I don't think it's coincidental that the letter that I just got is something that needs to be read here this morning. Every Sunday night at their church, they do baptisms. And every Sunday night when a person gets baptized, they have a chance to give a personal testimony of how they came to Christ. And in John MacArthur's letter this month, he posted what a young lady named Alexandra said right before she got baptized. And I'd like to read this to you because it's a testimony very similar to my own testimony and so many others. And this young lady named Alexandra says this: "A year ago, my business was in dire need, so I asked the Lord to send someone to help me. But the person must be a Christian, I told the Lord. He was gracious to send a man named Pete, who helped solve the problems. In our final business meeting, Pete shared his story of coming to Christ. He said, 'Alexandra, I was Catholic, but also an unbeliever. I was raised Catholic,' so I responded, 'how can one be a Catholic and an unbeliever?' I don't remember his answer exactly, but I kept hearing him say, 'I'm going to heaven. I'm in the kingdom.' I looked at Pete and thought, 'Who does he think he is? What gives him the right to claim a place in heaven?' So I said, 'Pete, how can you be so sure you're going to heaven while I have no idea if I will?' Pete began to share the true gospel. He told me that salvation is a gift of God, granted by grace alone, through faith alone. He proclaimed the gospel with boldness and conviction. But I was blind and lost. I gave him a blank stare as he explained Nicodemus and the new birth. Start reading your Bible. Start with the Gospel of John, Pete said, as we went our separate ways. I went home asking myself, what just happened? Who is Nicodemus? I took the Bible and began reading. Nicodemus was the teacher of Israel. But he did not understand the new birth, and Jesus rebuked him for it. If Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, did not understand the new birth, who could? Surely not I. That was the first time I ever read the Bible. Realizing my despair, Pete introduced me to Pastor John MacArthur and Grace to You. As I studied the Gospel of John with the help of Pastor John's Grace to You sermons, I saw myself as either as one of those Jews, the Pharisees, or even the multitude, the Jesus watchers, as Pastor John calls them. Although I had not violently rejected Jesus, I hadn't accepted him either. The day Pete led me to Christ, he said, Alexandra, the Lord is calling you. I fell down on my knees, surrendered to Jesus' calling, and accepted him as my Savior. Jesus took the veil from my eyes. Since my new birth, I have a great desire to spend intimate time studying his word. In John chapter 21, Jesus says to Peter, "You follow me." "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." That's me. That's me. What a great story. That close to Jesus, but yet that far away. You don't reject him, but you've never accepted him either. I purposely read the scripture text from Matthew 7 this morning for a very good reason. Jesus warns that there will be many who, on the day of judgment, will claim that their entrance into the kingdom of God is made possible by all their religious works they performed while on earth. Their faith is solely in their obedience to a religious system. Had I died before 1994, this scripture would have been talking about me. No, wait a second, Lord. I did this. And I did this, and I did this, and remember when I did this, and I said this. Yes, Jesus was talking about me. He was talking about me, the old me, here in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. All those things I mentioned before that I did in the name of God would have earned me a one-way ticket to hell. Jesus never knew me because I never did the will of the Father. Just like the woman in the story that I just read, this young lady named Alexandra, I never rejected Jesus. I even knew about Jesus, but I never truly accepted him either as the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. I had only to that time accepted a religious system. but never the Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And so did I. And so do you. So here's the question, my friends. Have you been born again? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a new creation in Christ? That the old you has gone and the new you is here? Do you know for certain that your eternal destiny is in heaven and that it awaits you the day that you depart from the face of this earth? Do you have abundant joy in your life and you can walk in that joy in your life knowing that you, the thing that you could never do for yourself, has been done perfectly by Jesus Christ? It's time for all of us to get real. All of us in here and all of us who may hear this message via the internet. Every human being only gets one chance on the face of this earth to get it right before they die. There are no second chances, and there is no purgatory. So the question is this, my friends. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Is your trust in a religious system, or is your trust in a relationship with a Savior? My friend, if I'm talking to you here this morning, I love you. And I believe that I have been placed into this ministry here at Beech Grove Christian Church so a person like me, with a past that I had, can reach a person like you. Because we have so much in common. I was where you are. And I do not want to see you eternally lost because your faith and your trust are in a false system and not in a real Savior. Because that's where I was. And I can assure you, I will never, ever go back. Here's my plea. Will you please come with me? Will you please come with me? The road is narrow, and those who enter are few. I ask you, will you please come with me? Let's pray.